before I go to the airport. My travel agent gets my seat. You fellows that travel, I guess you know you can do that. I don't get my seat at the airport. I get my seat selection from a travel agent before I get there. And always, I tell you why I did that. I hate those inside seats between people. There's nothing in the world that's undesirable as to sit in the center seat between two big fat women. Nothing. Now, the center seat between two pretty women, that's fine. But I've never drawn that assignment yet. But you share that one little armrest about that wide. And some woman lapping over the whole thing. So I just get my seat selection before I go to the airport. And always wonder who will be the lucky person to sit beside me. Friday afternoon, I sat down. And here came a middle-aged lady who looked like she owned the airplane. I mean, she was really decked out. I mean, she was obviously somebody. And I said, how are you? And she didn't care to respond. And I didn't care to say anything else to her either. Remember that scripture says, curse those that curse you and hate those that hate you? You don't remember it either. But anyway, I am, unless you wrote it, but I said it. And so I didn't pay attention to her. I mean, I always speak to folks, but so I got my Bible out. She looked over and she looked at it, and it's one of these big ones. All us Pharisees carry big Bibles. And she said, are you studying that? And I didn't say it, but I want to say, no, ma'am, I'm looking at the picture. I said, no, ma'am, I'm reading it. She said, are you a minister? A reverend? And I said, I'm a pastor, First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. And I'm chancellor of Hiles Anderson College. She said, hey, I've heard about you. Read about you in Newsweek magazine. She said, here's what she said, Stan. She said, you that school that don't take black folks. And I said, no, you're wrong. I said, we just don't take intelligent black folks, that's all. And anyway, or white folks. But anyway, she said, could you tell me something, Reverend? And I said, what is it? She said, I know what you believe. I've heard about you. She said, by the way, she said, you're going to preach in Dallas? I said, in Denton, Texas, on the campus of North Texas State University. And she said, I said, where are you going? She said, Dallas. She said, my husband's a pilot of this plane. And I said, where you live? She said, Long Island, New York. And I said, what are you going to Texas for? She said, for supper or dinner. I mean, boy, that's what you call flucy. I said, you mean you're going all the way from Texas to Texas, from Long Island, just to eat? And she said, yes. I said, don't blame you. I've eaten in Long Island. She said, we're coming back tomorrow. Now, she said, why do you believe that a person has to be a Baptist to go to heaven? Now, of course, that's what the devil always likes to make folks believe. We say you got to get born again. You go to hell. And I said, I don't believe that. But she said, I said, I believe you got to trust Jesus. Well, she said, how about those that have not heard of Jesus, but they live better lives than those that have heard of Jesus? Same old story. And I said, all right, I gave the illustration. You've heard me give it time and time again. I said, how are we getting to Dallas? She said, on the airplane. I said, who's getting us there? And she said, my husband. And I said, when I got on this airplane, I trusted the pilot to get me the ticket to Dallas. Now, I said, let's suppose that inside the airplane here, let's suppose that I get my knife and I just start cutting up the seat in front of me right here on the airplane your husband's flying, big DC-10. I said, now, what city am I going to? She said, I don't understand. I said, well, what city am I going to? If I cut the seat up, then where's this plane going to land? She said, Dallas. I said, oh. And I got to Dallas by trusting a pilot, didn't I? I said, how I behave on the journey doesn't depend where I go. And she said, I never heard it that way. I said, let's suppose that your husband or a stewardess came back. And she said, Mr. Hiles, what you doing back here? And I said, I'm just cutting up a little bit, that's all. And she said, look, you sliced that seat up. And I said, yeah, and look what else I can do. And I grabbed a lock of her hair and cut off about a third of her hair. I said, now then, where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I going to land? And she said, in Dallas. And I said, do you mean I can cut the stewardess hair and still get to Dallas all because I trusted the pilot? And she said, that's right. I said, okay, what if your husband hears about it, leaves the controls up there in the hands of the co-pilot, comes back here and says, hey, what's going on back here, mister? And I said, I'm just cutting up, that's all. And if you don't like it, I'll just grab your tie and cut his tie off. Now I said, where am I going? She said, Dallas. I said, how I behave on the trip doesn't get me to Dallas. It's whom do I trust to take me there that gets me there. And she said, I see it now. I see it. But she said, oh, Stan, how about those folks that live good? I said, okay, let's suppose that there are folks in O'Hare Field who are living better now than I am on this airplane, but they wouldn't get on the plane and trust the pilot. I said, where are they going? She said, they're going to stay in Chicago. And I said, folks that don't get on Jesus' plane and trust him are going to go to hell too, not because they're bad. And you don't go to heaven because you're good. You go to heaven because you trust the Savior and the pilot. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roll. Be thou the guardian of my soul. And I said, you get to heaven because you trust the pilot. And she said, I never heard it that way. I said, now, okay. Here's a good person says, I'm going to stay here in the airport and read my Bible. Will he get to Dallas? No. Here's a bad person says, I'm going to get on the plane and trust the pilot and read a magazine. Will he get to Dallas? Yes. Now, you listen to me. I don't know who told you this garbage. You got to earn your way to heaven. But, brother, if you've got to earn your way to heaven, you dead sure can't get 10 miles down the road. And she said, I'm concerned about something else. And I said, what's that? She said, I got married and we had 2 children. She said, my husband divorced me. And left me with the children. She said, my daddy's a multimillionaire, but I won't take his money. I'm going to make it on my own, she said. Then she said, I married another fella, and he beat my children and said he wouldn't live with my children. It had to be me or him or the children. And she said, I divorced him. Now, she said, I've had 2 divorces. Now, she said, to make a living, she said, I got 8 foster children. Now, she already had 2. Now, she's adopted 8 others. She said, now I got 10 kids. Then she said, I married a fella, and he had 6. She said, we have 16 children. I said, no wonder you go to Texas for supper. And then she said, mister, my life, she said, Reverend, she said, my life has been messed up. An awful lot. Rearing 6 kids, if not 9. I'm a 3rd husband. And then she said, mister, I'm saved. I asked her, I said, are you saved? And she said, yes, I go to the Lutheran church, but she said, I wasn't saved there. She said, turned on a telecast one day and saw a preacher preaching the gospel. And said, I got on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my heart. But she said, I've been worried about all those others. Never heard about Jesus before. And then she asked me a question. She said, Reverend, she said, under the circumstances I live, it's not easy. She said, and then she used a little term. She said, they're less than desirable. And my mind wandered back many years ago when my pastor stood up and preached a sermon, one of the few I ever set up as a child and listened to. He preached from Isaiah 40:31. He told me how that the people of God were living under undesirable circumstances in bondage or going to hell. Isaiah came along and said, folks, he said, God's punishing you now and the circumstances will not be desirable. But he said, I want to tell you something. They that wait upon the Lord, sing it, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Hundreds of people in this room this morning are living under undesirable circumstances. You got a daddy in the house. It's not your daddy. And your daddy lives across the country somewhere. Or you, you have your own children, and you married again, and the children that you have, they don't get along real well with their new daddy. Or maybe you're a widow, and you have to rear the children by yourself, or your husband forsook you, and you've got to take care of the children by yourself. Or, well, the prophet said, he said, Israel, you're not going to be living now. Look, I'm not sure if anybody really lives. Not many folks live in perfect circumstances. Not many. You know, I've decided that normalcy is an average and nobody is normal. Nobody's normal. I mean, there's many folks that are abnormal that they counterbalance the folks that are subnormal, which makes normal where nobody lives. And I sat in the service and my preacher said, and I don't remember many things he said in his sermon. But he said, folks, he said, if you're not living in a perfect condition, he said, God has a special promise for you. Now forgive me for saying it, and I have no pity, no self-pity about it. But we never lived in the same house for 12 months. We just lived in it till the rent came due and moved on. My daddy bought me one stitch of clothing in my whole life. One little blue ribbed T-shirt one time. That's all he ever bought me. I never sat but one time in all my life in church with my daddy. Only one time. I didn't see my daddy sober many times in his life. Other kids had houses that had electric lights. We had kerosene lamps. Other kids had houses that had indoor toilets. And we had telephone booth in the backyard. Other kids had bathtubs. I always thought, what unsanitary that looks. Washing your face in the same water you wash your feet in. I couldn't understand that. And anyway, nothing was quite normal. And our situation was less than desirable. And the preacher said, he said to you folks who have less than desirable circumstances, he said, here is it. And our preacher, big back in those days, big, tall fella. My name Forrest McElroy, about 6'4", looked like Joe Boyd, sort of, and he had a finger that was about 4 feet long. He pointed that finger across that pulpit, and he said, listen here! And never finished the sermon with his coat on, never did. And he said, God has a special promise to you that are living under tough conditions. He said, that promise is this, you can wait upon the Lord, and He'll renew your strength. He said, you can mount up with wings as eagles. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. And I sat up in my seat and I said, Lord, that sure is good. Little boy like me, I'm talking to folks all over this house today. Divorce, step-parents, step-children, college dorms, orphanage, parents not together. Graduation, they weren't together. I remembered when I graduated, I scanned the crowd. As we sat on the platform, I scanned the crowd to see if my daddy was there. My mama was there, and my sister was there. My daddy wasn't there. I remember when I got my degree from college, just thinking about last Friday night. I lined up outside and nobody was there. Mama had no way to get down. It was 150 miles away. Mama had no car. Nobody was there. I was lined up to walk in with a processional. And looked up and saw a big old black Cadillac driving up the road. It was my wealthy Uncle Harvey. They'd gone by to get my mama, and they surprised me at graduation. I didn't think anybody was going to be there. I'm talking to a heap of folks this morning who have undesirable circumstances as we count desirability. And God says there's a special promise for you. I'm talking to some student that can't go home this summer. I'm talking to some other student who has no home to go to this summer. I'm talking to many people this morning. And God comes to you and says, He says, I want to give you a special promise. He's not about, this is for everybody, but God says in a special way, it's for those of you who are having undesirable conditions under which you live. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's for those who have a load bigger than they can bear. My circumstances sometimes are a little different. At least half the nights I go to bed in a motel room somewhere. Tuesday night, I preached so hard, and I just wrung myself out. And so the pastor drove me back to my room, and I said to the pastor, he said, Brother Hodge, you're tired tonight. And I said, yes, sir. And I said, I just wonder sometimes how many more like that I can preach. I've got left. Just honestly, all the energy used up. I went to my room, got on my knees, and I said, Dear Lord, I'm just exhausted. And I said, I'm not young anymore. I don't have the energy or the voice like I used to have. And I said, Lord, how many more times can I just pour myself out like I did tonight? And I began to sing, They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The next morning at college, I was poured my soul out again. You see, God says if you live under undesirable circumstances, I've got to promise this to everybody, but He said it's especially to you. You know what's wonderful? To crawl in bed at night on a cold night, if it's raining a little bit, you can hear it on the roof. And to wiggle your toes in bed and say, Bless God, I'm just going to stay here the rest of my life. I mean, boy, ain't nothing like that. But say, you know what? Unless you're tired, that doesn't feel good. You know what's wonderful? To get some prayer answered. I mean, something. This last week, I felt impressed to buy suit of clothes for a few people. And I got a letter, a little note from one of them. The next day, he said, Preacher, he said, just the other day, I was praying, God, I got to have a new suit. Please give me a new suit. He said, You answered my prayer. Wednesday afternoon. Our God did through you. Nothing like it, brother. Yeah. Get your face against the wall and you say, Lord, I gotta have some help. I gotta have something. And God gives you the answer. Hey, did you know that you'd never know that unless you had need? There's something awful wonderful about sweet assurance. My favorite song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Nothing like that. Nothing greater than to have the sweet assurance. But you know, Doc, did you know that you can't have that assurance unless you've had doubt? No doubt, no assurance. No weariness, no rest. No war, no peace. The lady said, she said, Reverend, you seem intelligent. You know, I mean, you tell them you're a Baptist preacher, they're surprised if you seem intelligent. She said, you seem intelligent. She said, how could you believe that God would send somebody to hell who'd never heard the name Jesus? And I said, ma'am, 30 night. See, 56. I said 36 years ago, I went for a year to the University of Texas in Arlington. And I said, they shook my faith. I was sitting right beside this lady, rich lady, very well lady, with 16 kids on the airplane. I said, they shook my faith. And I held the Bible up like that. I said, they shook my faith in that book. I said, Mama taught me it's true. And I didn't know what to believe. Mama, I'm a professor. And I said, they shook my faith. And I doubted the book. And I said, ma'am, I got on my knees. And I read this book through on my knees. I was going to find out once and for all, is this the book of God? Is this God's word? Or is it not the word of God? And I said, ma'am, I got off my knees after reading the whole Bible through over a period of days and weeks. And I said, I got off my knees believing firmly that this is God's book. And I said to her, and I said to you, I said, ma'am, I'll be honest with you. The doctrine of hell repulses my refinement. I said, honestly, I said, the fact that anybody would go to hell and burn forever, that bothers me. I said, I have a hard time accepting that, but I said, I don't have to accept it. Oh, she said, you don't accept it. I said, I don't have to. I said, I accept the book it's written in. And I said, whether I can accept it or whether it repulses me or not, whether my refinement is pricked by it or not, I said, I believe every word in this book is God's word. And that means if the Bible says there's a hell, there's a hell, whether it pricks my refinement or not. Well, you say, I've got a Ph.D. from Harvard. I don't care if you got it from Hogwash University in Possum Trot, Arkansas. Bible is still true. Yeah, well, I can't accept hell. No, it's not hell you can't accept. It's the Bible you can't accept. And it's the God of the Bible you can't accept. And I said, it's true. And I said, lady, until you have gotten the place where you say this book is true, that means it's all true. I said, you'll never know the joy I'm talking about. And I said, when I got off my knees over there in a Baptist, what they call a Baptist, what they call this Baptist Student Union, right? Baptist Student Union building. After I had read the last verse of Revelation, and I got off my knees, and I said, I'm convinced, after reading this whole book through on my knees, I'm convinced that the professors are wrong and my mama's right. And I said, ma'am, I said, the sweet peace of God flooded my soul, and I can't tell you how I felt. Ah, blessed, no wonder my favorite song is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with this goodness, lost in His love. I said, unless you've known doubt like I've known, you can never know the peace that I knew. I want to say this. The calm is never, never quite as sweet to those who've never known a storm. And the peace is never quite as sweet to those who've never known war. And the health is never quite as sweet to those who've never been seriously ill. And warmth is never quite as sweet to those who've never known the chilling northern winds. And food is never quite as sweet to those who've never known what it is to be hungry. That's one reason why I enjoy life so much. I put my feet in the covers and realized when I had no covers to put them in. I put good food in my mouth and realized I had no food to put there. One time, I get in a car and drive it. Remember how when I was a kid, I used to wonder who those rich folks were that could afford to drive cars. You'll forgive me for being a little bit frank, but I go to the bathroom and see the laboratory and the commode and the bathtub there and look at it. And I remember the outhouse when it was zero weather. You've never known persecution. Do you go through that? I'm saying this morning, God comes along to those of you who live under circumstances less than desirable. And God says, I've got a book for everybody, but I've got a special promise just for you. He said, you wait upon me, and I'll give you strength to bear your burdens. You wait upon me. I'll let you rise up with wings. I'll let you rise above the circumstances under which you live. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. He said, I'll let you run. And I love that part. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not heard? That your God never faints? I love that. Haven't you heard about it? God never faints. I left Mama's house the other day, as Margaret was, and my sister was, awful worried about Mama. Mama's 95, getting off close to 96. And she's been talking just a little too much lately about maybe taking off from here. And I couldn't help but thank God that there's a throne of grace where my heavenly Papa lives. For I don't come and say, this is Dr. Hiles, God. I'm pastor of the largest church in the country. Remember me? No. That doesn't impress him very much. I'm Dr. Hiles. I'm Chancellor of Hiles Anderson College. I'm coming to talk to you. It's your lucky day. No. No, sir. Is there a place of comfort? Is there a place of joy? Is there a place of refuge? Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace. I was walking down the airport. I think it was in Tallahassee, Florida. I was walking fast to catch a plane. I was late for. And as I walked, I began to hum. And this is a little song I wrote. I began to hum. And I began to sing, come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the Savior's face. Find mercy, find mercy to help you in the time of need. Find mercy to help you bear the precious seed. Life hasn't taken all the turns you wish it had. And I'm talking to folks this morning like I was, sitting in the service like I did years ago as a little boy. And in circumstances less than desirable. And the preacher stood up and said, hey, I got a promise just for you. And the little barefooted boy sat up in the seat and said, this is for me. The preacher said, here's a promise. Remember the story? In the Old Testament, all the 12 tribes of Israel came in the promised land. Him and now. Remember? Remember how God said to the tribe of Naphtali, this is your land over here. God said to the tribe of Asher, you've got this rocky place up here, mountainous place, that's your place over here. And the tribe of Dan, this is your place. And all the tribes had some land. But the tribe of Levi said, where's ours? Where's our inheritance? Where's our portion? One of the greatest statements in the Bible, God said to the tribe of Levi, I am your portion. I am your portion. And God comes this morning and settles beside the little orphan child living in less than desirable circumstances. And God comes this morning and sits beside the little widow here living in less than desirable circumstances. And God comes this morning to the college student while others went home living alone in a lonely, a hot dormitory room and living in less than desirable circumstances. And God comes to a child being reared by a stepdaddy or stepmother living in less than desirable circumstances. And God says, I got inheritance for all the people. And you said, but Lord, what you got for me? And God says, you got me. You got me. You got me. I am your portion. And this morning, the prophet Isaiah comes to you and says, you having it tough? Huh? Situation a little hard? Things not gelling? Just like you thought they would when you were a child dreaming about tomorrow? Huh? God said, I got something for you. A promise just for you. Sing it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Yes, they will. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Many a day I've had to preach twice in a row last few years. I mean, just go right hard twice in a row. And my voice wasn't well. My old esophagus gave me trouble. Many a time I've gone to the restroom between two sermons. And I said, Lord, I don't think my voice can hold out again for another sermon like that one. And many a time I put my hand on my throat like this in many a restroom across this country. And I've sung. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. And that's especially for me and those others of you, perhaps who've had in your life or do today have to live in less than desirable circumstances. Our Father, bless them.